Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And a good morning to you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is Fantasy Sports Today. I am Kevin Walsh. Mike Blewett will be hopping in here in just a moment. We're going to be talking NFC North today. Yesterday, we did our NFC West preview. We've been doing a lot of these previews going division by division here on the show. And today, we're going to head over to the NFC North. We're going to be joined by a couple of writers for specific teams. Dave Burkett, who writes for the Detroit Lions, will join us in hour number three. Hour number two, we'll have Joe DeLuise, who writes about the Green Bay Packers. We're working potentially on a Bears guest as well to join the show early on, so a lot for us to get to here today on the show. And I kind of want to just take that overview, take this outlook for this division as well, because you have an incredibly interesting division here. The Minnesota Vikings, the reigning champs of this division, went to an NFC championship game, change quarterback, lose Case Keenum, replace him with Kirk Cousins. They lose their offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur. So Minnesota, incredibly interesting. The Green Bay Packers, obviously a difficult season when you lose Aaron Rodgers, arguably football's best player and best quarterback. They now have Aaron Rodgers back. Some faces, some familiar faces, most notably Jordy Nelson departs, but they anticipate that Devontae Adams has a massive season. Jimmy Graham is now in Green Bay. They've done some things defensively that should be impactful. You then go to the Detroit Lions, and I think the biggest thing for them has to be, it just has to be, Matt Patricia coming over and becoming this team's head coach. They made the move, and now they're going to put a lot of faith in Matt Patricia, but it's still, a lot of it will also rest on the shoulders of Matthew Stafford. There is no doubt about it that that Matt and Matt have a large burden to bear for the Detroit Lions, because this is a team with a lot of potential. I think that they are likely going to be overlooked by a lot of people, but I think that this is a team that could make some serious noise. And then you've got the Chicago Bears, who are one of the most talked about teams this offseason. A lot of people excited for what they can be this year. They move on from John Fox, and then they bring in Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator this past season for the Kansas City Chiefs, and at one point took over the play-calling duties as Andy Reid was starting to struggle, it seemed. And Nagy came in, and they were on fire, clicking on all cylinders, which was, it was clear to see. And I think that's what led for him getting this job. And now Chicago, adding some more weapons around Mitchell Trubisky as he enters year number two. They pay the big-time money to go and get Allen Robinson. They bring over Taylor Gabriel. They as well drafted Anthony Miller, who some made the argument could have been the best wide receiver in last year's class. Certainly, all of these guys are going to play a role in attempting to get the absolute most out of Mitchell Trubisky, a dynamic running back pair for this team as well when you talk about Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. And then defensively, at the eighth overall pick, they added Roquan Smith, who, if all things go right, is their defensive captain year one. One of the interesting things with Roquan is he's yet to report to camp because they haven't worked out the deal. And I will say, just kind of to for a starting point, because, you know, the contract negotiations in football can be very, very complicated. The way things are, you know, NFL, the teams are in a great position. They have the ability to negotiate, and they don't have to ever give up too much guaranteed money, and just a lot of things are in their favor. And it can be difficult for the player, not only in that regard, but there is pressure on them to get to camp, right? Roquan Smith doesn't want to give off the impression to fans and, more importantly, teammates that he isn't team first. And now, I don't think that anybody should have that feeling of a Roquan Smith, but some people could be bothered. Just show up, just sign the contract. It is a two-way street. We've said that before when it comes to player holdouts who are waiting for new deals. This is a two-way street. You can't say that Le'Veon Bell doesn't care about the Steelers if the Steelers don't show that same level of care for Le'Veon Bell. It's a two-way street. But one of the updates we just got this morning was that Sony Michel and the Patriots have finally agreed to a deal. And what does it tell you that it took the Patriots that long to come to a deal with Sony Michel? It seems as if it has taken a little bit longer to get some of these deals done. It's an interesting thing to look at because right now, I do think as we are getting ready for this year, with a lot of the issues that are being handled within football, the battle that is ongoing between the owners and the players, the top and the players, there is a battle brewing. And there are a lot of things that are going to have to be bargained when the next CBA comes around. And I do think that there is a great chance that we could be in for a lengthy lockout if things are not drastically changed. And one area or one thing that is being called for, people are begging to see change regarding, are the contracts. Kirk Cousins this offseason signed a, if I'm not mistaken, 3-year, $90 million fully guaranteed contract. Fully guaranteed. A very, very unique deal. Now, how different is that deal if it was 5 years, tack it up to maybe, say, 130, 140, but it was still $90 million guaranteed? Well, not much is different, except for now, the franchise has full control. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing shift here. Kirk Cousins is completely in control. He knows that he will be on the Vikings for the next 3 seasons, no questions asked. Maybe he is traded. Maybe. But I think trades players can deal with in a way. I think it's difficult when you sign a 5-year deal and then you look at it and you say, they could cut me after year two. Year two. I can end up in a completely different spot. No security. That's one of the things that we are going to see a large argument over. And it's not only a big deal for free agents right now, the contract situations, but what we're seeing with Julio Jones and his contract situation. Julio Jones got paid. He absolutely did. But now Julio Jones wants to be paid again. And some people have a problem with that. And to a degree, I can understand why. It is not as if the Falcons cheaped out when it was time to pay him the last go-around. So I understand in that regard saying, Julio Jones, you're getting your money. But this year, he's the 7th highest cap hit amongst wide receivers. The 6 above him, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, Larry Fitzgerald, and Mike Evans. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins, you'll make the argument, is a better wide receiver. Most would likely have them on the same tier. A.J. Green perhaps in that tier as well. But Julio's a cut above T.Y. Hilton. Certainly a Jarvis Landry who got paid this offseason. And that's not to downplay Jarvis, who earned every bit of that money and deserved that contract. Markets reset year to year. But Julio Jones now, with a considerable amount of time left on his deal and still guaranteed money left on his deal, looking for that new contract, wanting to be paid likely as a top 3 wide receiver. And again, I understand people having issue with that because they paid him. And we can't just do this thing where we're renegotiating contracts every single time the market resets. But you kind of can when you're Julio Jones. And I think that it is going to be important for players to really find a way to to get some of the power back on their side. And that's what they're doing. And if you go to average wide receiver salaries year to year, the average roundup, Julio Jones is ninth. And again, Davante Adams, who had just got an extension, is above him. We mentioned Jarvis. Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins as well, average $16 million a year. We know for a fact that Julio Jones is a better wide receiver than a DeAndre Hopkins, or excuse me, than a Brandon Cooks or a Sammy Watkins. So that becomes interesting. And now we have the report that the Falcons are not going to get him a new deal. They are not doing this. They have him under contract. They did the right thing and they paid him when it was time to pay him, and now they feel like they need to move forward. And again, I can understand that position to a degree, but you can't lose sight of who this is. This is your best player. Matt Ryan's more important. He's your quarterback. But you can't, do you really want to lose Julio Jones? Is that something that they feel like they can afford? I don't think so. I don't think that is something that they should feel like they can afford. But since we already have this report that they're not going to pay him, and Julio Jones doesn't seem to be kidding around, what does that end up meaning for fantasy? Because, I mean, that's what we do here, right? We're doing the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Fantasy Sports Today. What do you do with a Julio Jones then, whose ADP is a little bit different than in years past? You can actually get a Julio Jones in the second round, as opposed to, you know, in some spots having to take him maybe as a second overall pick. Julio Jones available in the second round. But at what point do you start to get concerned that Julio Jones is going to miss legitimate time? Legitimate time. And that stuff happens. We saw it happen with Aaron Donald last year. Missed one game, if not two. I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago where Cam Chancellor missed the first couple of games. So does Julio Jones think that it's important for him to hold out, show his worth, hope for a Falcons struggle to start the year? Falcons open up Thursday night football at the Philadelphia Eagles. You'd really like to have Julio Jones for that game. You'd really like to have Julio Jones for that game. But it doesn't get much easier. The next week, you play the Carolina Panthers. And then you play the New Orleans Saints. Week 4 is the Bengals. Then you go at Pittsburgh. So 4 of your first 5 opponents, really, really good opponents there. You want to have Julio Jones for those games. The Atlanta Falcons, make no mistake about it. This is a really, really good football team. This is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. And that's exactly what it should be. But is that the case without Julio Jones? It's tough to say. And it does put Julio in a spot here where maybe he can let them drop to 0-2. And then there's something worked out to where he's back week 3. Maybe the Falcons remain stubborn and we don't see him. Maybe they're fine without him. Maybe we need to move Calvin Ridley up draft boards. Maybe we need to move Mohamed Sanu up draft boards. It's difficult to say. But as Mike is now joining us in, and Mike, I was just kind of talking about this Julio Jones situation here and how, you know, we see player contracts as we're doing NFC North, Roquan Smith yet to report, yet to get his deal. Sony Michel just signed his. The contract negotiations for the NFL seem to be getting muddier and muddier. And I was saying, at what point do we have to talk about moving Julio Jones down a little bit, out of fear of him missing real games? We have Mike. All right, Mike will certainly be here by the next segment. I have no doubt about that. So that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, and again, it's for fantasy, you have to judge. Maybe you move Calvin Ridley up a little bit. I think Mohamed Sanu can be a sleeper for you. But Julio Jones is a type of player that if without him, I think everything takes a hit. I'm a lot less bullish on Matt Ryan, who I like coming into this year. I think could have a nice season. I'm even less bullish than, in a way, on a Devonta Freeman. Now, you could counter, I think, and tell me that there, that means more carries for him. And I might end up agreeing with you by argument's end. But again, the argument of the offense is less dynamic without Julio Jones has to apply. It certainly does. It's Julio Jones. We can't sell these things short. And I think that is one of the things about these contract negotiations that make it a little difficult right now, is when the best of the best are struggling to get deals, how does that set up for the rest of the league? And I do, in a way, feel like it could be the responsibility of some of these top guys to do this, to make sure that the league, the players within the league, rather, can be set up for financial success. Because it's not just Julio. And again, the Julio situation is unique because he was paid. But Odell Beckham Jr. without a contract. He's the best player on the New York Giants. He was the lifeblood of that offense for the last two prior seasons. Last year was injured, and we saw what that meant for the offense. Aaron Donald is arguably the best player in football, best defensive player by most people's standards. No contract. So that's what makes these contract negotiations difficult. When we come back, we're going to peel into this NFC North preview. We're going to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins in town. Lots of like there. Come right back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Let there be light on this Sunday morning. Sorry, folks. We're having some technical issues there. So for those of you that joined the show earlier, we got a little jammed up. Our apologies, but we are here for the entirety of the rest of the show. We got an action-packed show on the NFC North. I know Kevin talked about it earlier, but wanted to give you a heads up that we have great guests coming up. We're going to have Robert Zaglinski, who covers the Bears at, I'm sorry, Joe DeLuise, Kevin, help me with that pronunciation.
We got Joe DeLuise, who's going to come on and join us to talk Packers, and we've got Dave Burkett, who will come on to talk Lions. We're working on the Bears guest and getting that all confirmed.
Yeah, Robert Zaglinski is at Bears camp, so it can sometimes be a little bit dicey in between practice sessions and the noise level. So we're going to try to connect with Robert at 10:40. We got Dave Burkett, who from the Detroit Free Press, who's coming in at 11:20 to talk Lions. I've spoken with Dave in the past. He's great, knows everything Lions. And Joe DeLuise is going to come on in about 20 minutes. So, in spite of our technical issues, we're going to bring you a lot of previews on the NFC North. We're going to put up a poll here in a couple of minutes just to see who people think are going to win this division. I think the Vikings are the team that is all in right now. But when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you're all in every year. I just think that the Vikings, obviously with that defense and the spend they made for Kirk Cousins, are pushing hard to win a Super Bowl and nothing less. I think anything less than that would be a disappointment. They got to the NFC Championship game last year. People will assume they take that next step. Vegas has them as favorites. -260 to make the playoffs. The Packers are at -170 to make the playoffs. Lions are +260. Bears +450. So Bears still bringing up the rear in that division despite all the additions that they've made this offseason. I think we'll have a good time talking about the Bears because I've been a little hesitant as to the hype surrounding this team. They obviously have Mitchell Trubisky here in his second year with Matt Nagy. You've got other additions like Allen Robinson, a very high-priced wide receiver. The Bears are in pads, full pads, by the way, for the first time today. I was looking at Robert Zielinski's Twitter feed. So they're ready to roll. They're obviously in that Hall of Fame game, so they reported a few days ago. And Aaron Rodgers back and healthy. There is a little bit of a stalemate there regarding his contract status, but nonetheless, like I said, it's all in every year for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Aaron Rodgers, you better be. I mean, you can't waste those type of seasons. It's not to say that teams haven't wasted them, but I do think that's one of the things. You have some new faces within this division and the return of Aaron Rodgers. Matt Patricia comes in for the Lions, new head coach. Matt Nagy comes in for the Bears, new head coach. Kirk Cousins obviously coming in for the Vikings as their new quarterback in the return of Aaron Rodgers. So those are probably the four biggest names for each team, I would even argue. So that becomes incredibly important and interesting to see how these guys hit. There's a lot of pressure. You know, some people think, oh, is Matt Nagy going to be McVay? I don't know about that, but maybe. Is Matt Patricia going to survive without Belichick? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Is Kirk Cousins going to now have a career year and bring Minnesota back to the NFC Championship? We'll have to see. And is Aaron Rodgers still, for my money, the best quarterback in football? We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the divisions that received the most changes during the offseason, including two new head coaches that you just mentioned. We're going to come back. We'll do Vikings to start to kick it off on this NFC North division of the FST. We'll come back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
FST. Just like normal. Good as new. No drama. No drama whatsoever, Kev Walsh. I didn't hear anything you said in that first segment, but beside that.
I was talking about Julio.
No drama.
Drama. Julio. I got drama for you.
Yeah, drama. Yeah, Julio. I don't know exactly where that's going to go. I heard you talking about potentially dropping him. I think you don't. Look, I think if you're drafting now and you're concerned, you're going to drop him personally. I think this is going to be a little bit of a stalemate, and Julio's going to come back to camp like a Le'Veon Bell situation. I don't think he's going to start sitting out games. Look, he's got no leverage. It is a long – they gave him a long-term deal and made him the highest paid
receiver. I have a counter to that point.
And now, wait, hang on. And now he's outperformed. He's outperformed the contract to some extent, but he's still one of the highest paid guys out there. He's obviously irritated because Matt Ryan got paid and Allen Robinson got paid and all these other guys are getting paid, and he wants a bigger bonus. He's the best receiver in the NFL, not named Antonio Brown. So I get it, but to renegotiate this early in the deal, it sets a terrible precedent for the Falcons, and I don't see how they could possibly do that.
My counter is that he is Julio Jones. He is still worth that money. And I looked quickly again in segment one. I was just talking about the front of their schedule. At Philly, home versus the Panthers, home versus the Saints. Then they play home versus the Bengals. And then it's at Pittsburgh. Those are four incredibly difficult opponents in the first five games. Very important games. So try it. Try going into those games without Julio Jones. This is a team with Super Bowl expectations.
You know how much his teammates will rebel against him.
See, but I don't know about that. But then that's on them for not understanding. Like, we can't do this whole this is a business thing, like, and not watch a player do what is best for him personally, financially. This game is too dangerous for people to not do that when they deserve that type of money. And then because the backup left tackle is pissed with Julio, or because the inside middle linebacker is furious, well, then he needs to be taught a lesson. because they don't know what's going on.
For most of the guys would never say a word about it. They won't. They're not going to mess with another guy's money. That typically doesn't happen. Like Antonio Brown would even like sort of spoke up about Le'Veon Bell's thing and then quickly got rebuffed and he never said another word about it. In this instance, I think guys understand what's on the line for the Falcons, A, and B, that Julio did get paid. He's not on some rookie deal. So in that sense, I think some guys will be quietly irritated and it could become some sort of an issue. But I'm telling you, I think he's there week one. But to try to like torpedo the season by holding out till week four or whatever is insane. He's just going to lose the money. And I don't think he's in a very good negotiating position. That's just my opinion on it. I don't care that players hold out and get money. I do think on the whole, they get screwed. So I don't mind guys holding out, but it isn't an absolute discussion one way or the other. Yeah, hold out for all the money you can get. I'm never going to say that because in some situations it can be ridiculous. I understand that Aaron Donald wants to be compensated. Everybody calls him the best player in the NFL, and he's still on a rookie deal. That's different than Julio Jones' deal. Than Julio Jones' contract situation. It's very different.
There's no debating that it's different. But again, it's just I can't do this whole thing where it's Julio was torpedoing the whole season, but the Falcons take no blame for saying we refuse to pay you any more money.
They made him the highest paid receiver.
Right, but things have changed now. Things can change. Like you,
they always change.
Here's the thing: if that's the stance, then just trade him, or find out how what happens when Julio's not out there. Play the Eagles, Panthers, and Saints games, and hope like hell you're 1-2 and not 0-3.
I don't mind Julio trying to hold out to negotiate for a little bit, but if he didn't show up for week one and the Falcons make it known that we're not going to extend you right now, or we're not going to put more guaranteed money into this, it would be, you know, I wouldn't heavily criticize him, but I would, you know, I wouldn't side with him on this, in this instance. I just wouldn't, because they did make him the highest paid guy. They did show how committed they were and how much he had a total guaranteed of $35 million, and he'll probably make a lot more than that. I'm trying to take a look at his deal right now. He's $71 million is what they gave him. The average annual is about 14.2. As I look down at, he's already made, he's made 10, 13 plus 11, 23, 30, basically 35 with some ancillary stuff. He'll make by the end of it 40, by the end of this year, 45. By the end of next year, he'll make 58. So there aren't a lot of receivers that have made $58 million in the history of the league. So I'm just saying that I don't think he's slightly underpaid now, based on what the other contracts look like. But we all know how this works. Guys leapfrog each other all the time. There was a moment when Derek Carr was the highest paid quarterback in the league, and Joe Flacco can't hang on to his job, and Derek Carr is in a really huge season for him to save the trajectory of his career. So I'm just saying that these guys do leapfrog each other. I'm not going to heavily criticize him for holding out, but if he wasn't there when the season started, that would be an issue, because I just don't really see what leverage he's trying to create. The Falcons can't set a precedent, and NFL teams can't set a precedent on renegotiating deals 3 years after they're signed.
I see, my thing is I think players need to, because the thing is, right, Michael, if we can agree that the players get screwed constantly, then good
on
for
the whole, they do.
Then good for one of them positioning himself where he's going to take a risk and try not to get screwed. No, he's
not
being.
That's what Le'Veon is doing.
Right, but Julio is like, just because he's not getting as screwed as other people doesn't mean that I can't make the argument that it's not getting screwed. Like, he still deserves to be one of the five highest paid wide receivers. He's currently slotted on a year to year at 9. So if
you
he
want
wants
like
to
a
get
Nick
more
Saban
money,
deal with a kicker that every time somebody signs a deal worth more than his, a kicker goes in to make him top 3 again?
That fine. Like, here's the thing, if when Derek Carr became the highest paid quarterback, if Aaron Rodgers said, oh, until that's what my contract is, I'll be sitting out, it's like, well, that's Aaron Rodgers, you better pay him. The same applies to Julio. So that's just how I'm going to move forward with it. And again, we can say there's no leverage.
He is an oft-injured player too.
He's worth the money, Mike. The injury stuff doesn't matter.
He is worth the money, Le'Veon Bell is worth a ton of money, but at some point you are making a negotiation and making a decision that maybe we shouldn't commit $40 million guaranteed to a 28-year-old running back with all these carries and touches behind him. That's the decision the Steelers have made. And likewise, the Falcons are allowed to take a position that says, I think he's one of the most talented receivers in the NFL. We made him the highest paid receiver in the NFL. He's dealing with toe injuries all the time. And I'm not going to pile another $20 million onto it because he feels like he deserves it. And we're constantly going through pain management with him each and every season.
Here is where I think there might be miscommunication. I'm not saying that the Falcons need to pay him immediately. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. What I'm saying is that Julio is also right in what they're doing. This is one of the things that happens often with these NFL negotiations. It's the players holding out. It is never phrased as the Falcons are refusing to meet Julio Jones's contract demands. The Steelers are refusing to give Le'Veon Bell a full-time extension.
That's true, but I accept that as a premise, but what I can't say is give Le'Veon whatever he wants. Do you understand that?
He didn't get anything. He didn't even. I mean, apparently,
the offer was allegedly $33 million.
Allegedly, I saw that within the first year, most of the guaranteed was going to be off.
$33 million guaranteed. That's the only number that matters. Forget the rest of it. That's what he was offered. According to Ian Rappaport, the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell's camp may quarrel with it. They obviously have. They've already proclaimed him a non-Steeler after this season. So I have to work off of that number, which I think is a good number. It seems that he wanted 40. I'd have to dive into the Steelers' salary cap situation to understand if that was even doable, but they are perpetually capped out because of a very high-paid wide receiver, a very high-paid quarterback, and honestly, currently a very high-paid running back. He's going the Kirk Cousins route, his old teammate. He's taken the two franchise years, and then he's going to get a guarantee. But do I think it's going to be markedly different than the 33 that the Steelers just offered when he's a year older and probably 400 touches deeper into his career? I don't think so. I'm not saying he had to take that deal, but I can't accept the premise that you should give him whatever he wants, because what if he said 50 guaranteed? At some point, even you being, and I'm not being pro-owner, I don't think. I'm just trying to understand a negotiation. I think even you would say at some point you have to put a cap on it. We talk about it in the NBA all the time. How the hell did Zach LaVine get $20 million a year and Jabari Parker and all these other guys? At some point, you have to say enough is enough. I can't just give him whatever he wants, even if it is Julio Jones or Le'Veon Bell.
Of course. It's a negotiation. But where I'm saying is that this is one of these things, too, where, you know, the fact that Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker can see $20 million annually, and I'm not saying it's not apples to apples. There's 53-man roster compared to 12.
I'm not.
But I'm talking about just stature within the league, that you can still get, Zach LaVine can get a long-term contract, where we are now in another consecutive season of Aaron Donald not getting paid. I think that that's one of the important things here. Again, the Julio situation is very, very unique. We've never seen anybody do this, where they got paid and they're saying, no, repay me. We've never seen that. It's very unique. But it's still a league-wide thing where teams are using their leverage to not have to pay players as much as they are demanding. The players are attempting to do the same, knowing their worth and saying, I will not then be there until that point. I am fine if the Falcons are to say, we're not re-upping your deal. But I am equally fine with Julio Jones saying, okay, well then let's see how far this goes. Let's see if you're okay without me. And then we'll go from there. I think that that's one of the things with this whole thing. At some point, we have to be able to accept it from both sides. I think that that's one of my main problems with this, is it always comes down to the player holds out. There's no blame on the team. Everybody's an owner. Everybody understands why the Falcons don't want to pay him. But nobody's okay with the fact that Julio.
I think in general, I scratch my head at fans that become pro owner during this kind of stuff. I'm just saying there's a limit. And if I am the Falcons, I'm putting myself in the Falcons' shoes for this. If I am the Falcons, I can't renegotiate in the middle of it because I might have to renegotiate everybody's deal in the middle of it. If I do for Julio and then Devontae Freeman rushes for 2,000 yards, hypothetical, then I got to renegotiate him too. Never going to have to renegotiate Matt Ryan because they gave him $100 million guaranteed, but that's the nature of the position. But, and then Deion Jones is coming in and – he's now a star linebacker, and once he's off his rookie deal, he's going to be one of the highest paid linebackers, presumably. You got to pay him. And then this guy's capped out. They're capped out. Capped out. Capped out. Capped out. It is a finite salary cap, so they don't pay into luxury tax like teams in the NBA. It's a finite salary cap, and that's why. By the way, there's a stat I saw earlier this week. No team has won the Super Bowl with a quarterback cap hit above 15% since like 2005. It's crazy. Like the teams can only win when the quarterback is on a team friendly deal now. That's sort of the way it's gone. You know, think about Russell Wilson. That happened before he got paid. Brady always takes a little bit less money. The Foles thing last year and on and on. So anyway, it's good discussion. I think we're at a stalemate because I understand where you're coming from. But it is going to take one guy to be like, forget it. I'm not playing until I get paid X. But Kirk Cousins sort of did that.
Yeah.
Kirk
and
Cousins
it worked.
Got a fully guaranteed. But it is the nature of the position too. I don't think a running back could do that.
No. Well,
because a running back's career is sort of fleeting from the second he steps on the field. You know what I mean?
No.
That's why I get where Le'Veon is coming from. And I don't think he's wrong. But the Steelers are managing a risk there.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They just are. Especially with him.
I do
think they're having off the field questions as well.
I do think though that Le'Veon, in a way, is seeing the Kirk Cousins thing because what happened with Kirk?
It's his old teammate.
Well, because what happened with Kirk is when the Redskins would come with, okay, here's the guaranteed money. He's like, I'll make that if I get franchised this year and next year. That doesn't work. I need more. And I think Le'Veon, the guaranteed money that you suggested, it would be around about that if he got franchised this year. And next year. So I actually think that that's part of the reason as well why he's saying, no, you got to move the guaranteed money up. Because I'm already getting X amount of dollars under my current situation. And if I go for that same exact thing next year, which is could be in play, right, then that's what I'm going to go with. So I'd rather take this money this year and either have to handle it next year via another franchise tag, if possible. I don't know if there's another layer because I know he's been doing this now consecutive seasons.
It'll be a huge kicker. Maybe a huge kicker, and he'd get another 20% on top.
If Le'Veon goes elsewhere next year, he probably, even if he, let's say next year's deal is $30 million guaranteed, but that's then double what he would have got from the Steelers because this year he's already getting the 14.5 guaranteed.
No, I think that's exactly what they're planning on. I think if he gets the $33 million that the Steelers put on the table next year, he'd sign it.
Uh-huh.
Because he will have had 29 guaranteed over the 2 years plus another 33. I think that's what he's looking at. Darrelle Revis just retired. He's the only defensive back in the history of the NFL to clear $100 million in salary, and he did it by holding out. He did it by jumping from team to team. His uncle was an NFL player, Sean Gilbert, and Sean Gilbert was famously involved in a huge contract holdout, and he ended up getting paid. And I think throughout the entirety of his career, Darrelle Revis was mentored by Sean Gilbert and mentored quite well, by the way. And I don't think people ever look at Darrelle Revis negatively. Perhaps some Jets fans do or Bucks fans or Pats fans, but I have no problem with the way he played. He's going to the Hall of Fame and he's carrying nine figures to Canton with him. So don't have an issue with that at all. We're gonna flip it over to the Bears after the break.
Packers.
Regardless of whether, Packers after the break. We're going to have Joe DeLuise on at 10 o'clock. Forgive me for the mix-up there. I would say a couple news and notes. Julian Edelman has decided not to fight his 4-game suspension. That should put to rest where he sits in your fantasy rankings. Obviously, he's going to be out for those first 4 games. Chris Hogan probably picking up the slack there. We'll talk maybe national anthem stuff a little bit later, because that's been put to bed by the owners in the league for now. Smart for them to kick the can down the road. But we'll come back with Joe DeLuise talking Packers right after this.